Dr. Benson, how likely is recurrence?
Well, what we've learned from some of our extensive clinical trials, follow-up data about risk of recurrence includes the time period of 2 to 3 years where most people are most likely to develop a recurrence. Overall, it's suggested that perhaps 50 to 60% of all colorectal cancer patients will recur.
To help illustrate the issues involved in treating recurrent colon cancer, we went to Lansdale, Pennsylvania, and met with Jean, a patient of Dr. Engstrom, who is undergoing chemotherapy after her colon cancer returned.
Bye, honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Daddy.
Bye. See you later.
Well, I hope the sun comes out later. Being a mother is a joy. Let's go to Katie's school. Oh, good job. When I was first diagnosed with cancer, Grace was just a baby. I had felt really tired. I thought it's just because I have a 9-month-old, I'm exhausted. And then it just got worse, and I went to the doctor. I had blood in the stool, and I went to my primary care doctor, and he thought maybe it was hemorrhoids. But then I told him my grandfather had colon cancer, so he sent me for a colonoscopy. And then they discovered the growth, and it was too big to take out with the scope. And then they did a biopsy and found out it was malignant. They felt like they got all the cancer just from the surgery, and it hadn't gone into any lymph nodes, so I didn't need any further treatment then, so that was a relief.
I'm very lucky.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
They had a 5-year follow-up plan where I went for tests every 6 months. I went for my usual colonoscopy. They found a polyp, but it was not the kind they could remove with a scope because it was flat against the colon. So they took a sample, and at least what they could, the surface of it, it was not malignant. We were right in the midst of going through the adoption with my little one, Katie. I said, would it be okay to go to Russia and do the surgery when I came back? And they thought it was.
What are you guys doing?
It was exciting coming home. December 1st, when we brought her home, we call it Sister Day now, because it's the day Grace and Katie became sisters. So we celebrate that every year now. Sorry. I went in to have the surgery, and then they found out that it was malignant. And it did go to the lymph nodes, so I did have to have 6 months of chemotherapy. I would go in every 2 weeks for the IV infusion, and then I'd have to wear a pouch with a little a pump for the 5-FU for 2 more days, and then go back and get that unhooked. I had oxaliplatin, and it gives you the tingling in your hands and feet and then your throat in response to cold things. So I had to wear gloves, like, inside to handle things in the refrigerator.
There she goes.
When that was done, they thought there was no further evidence of disease. So I thought that was great.
Remember going up to Mismuth?
Yes, you had to carry my backpack.
Yes.
The following summer, the CEA level had gone up, and they saw that the cancer had metastasized to some lymph nodes. I asked, what did that mean? And he said, well, you'll be off and on chemotherapy forever. I asked how long forever was. This was not the doctor from Fox Chase, it was a different doctor. He said, 5 years. That was devastating, but since I've talked to Dr. Engstrom, I feel much more hopeful. Everybody pretty much concurred that the same course of treatment was called for.
Well, Grace, when I go for chemo, I can tell she resents it, which I do too.
Because she knows that for a couple days, I won't be myself.
Hi, honey.
Hi. I'm doing well on the chemotherapy now, and I feel pretty optimistic about things. We hope that this, in my case, it's going to be like a chronic thing and not a final thing.
a great life, and I'm so blessed to know everybody, you know, all my friends and family. It's just amazing. Except for this little cancer problem, I'm, you know, I wouldn't change anything.
Yay! That was great, honey. Good job.
Well, Jean's situation is a more difficult one for the treating physician. As she indicated, our goal is to maintain her function, to use our chemotherapy drugs in a way that stretches out her functional activities as long as we can. She understands that surgery is not an option. I do want to point out, though, that Jean's cancer actually occurred in a situation where there is a strong family history. And in fact, with gene testing, this patient indeed does carry a mutation. The recurrent cancer that was diagnosed on routine colonoscopy is the cancer that we're treating currently. And it has spread not to the liver or the lung, but to regional lymph nodes, both in the abdomen and in the mediastinum. So the goal of treatment here is to get maximum tumor regression, but to use our continuum of care, continuum of treatments, in such a way that we maximize the effect of each drug.
And what Jean said is, you know, her hope is that she has a chronic disease. And many patients now are experiencing colon cancer as a chronic disease. With chronic illness comes a whole host of issues. And I think most of us in our comprehensive cancer centers try to provide these supportive services, not only for the individual patient, but for family members. In fact, there is the saying that it's not just the patient who has cancer, the whole family has cancer because they have to deal with illness on a daily basis.
When disease progresses, how do you select the next therapy?
The second choice depends on what the first choice was. As we talked about before, in initial therapy, one is usually deciding between a FOLFOX or a FOLFIRI type of regimen, usually either one being given with bevacizumab. If a patient has progressed through that therapy, then other options come into play. One can be followed by the other. So, for example, if one uses a FOLFOX-type approach initially, one can follow with either irinotecan or FOLFIRI. If one uses a FOLFIRI approach initially, one can choose to follow with FOLFOX. But there are other alternatives. For example, if one chooses a irinotecan or FOLFIRI-based approach up front, an alternative second approach may be to continue the irinotecan and add cetuximab, which is the anti-EGFR monoclonal antibody that has been studied with chemotherapy. And it has a different side effect profile from FOLFOX. So if, for example, you chose to use a FOLFIRI regimen up front because you were trying to avoid neurotoxicity, you may want to continue emphasizing the avoidance of neurotoxicity, bring the EGFR agent in, use that therapy for as long as possible, and delay the use of FOLFOX until you really don't have another good idea. It's worth mentioning that bevacizumab is part of frontline therapy. It's approved for first or second line therapy. It's not approved for first and second line therapy. And we recommend in our guidelines it be used with one course of therapy. So we don't routinely continue it with second line therapy if the patient has progressed on first line therapy.
Well, research to improve the care of colon cancer is certainly ongoing. What can we expect in the future?
A situation that is becoming a growing challenge is as people survive longer and are exposed to all of our active agents, they may continue to progress but maintain an excellent performance status. So in other words, they are still good candidates for additional therapy, but they've run out of options. And I think this challenge will be best met by understanding the biology of the disease, because it makes no sense for that individual just to take another drug off the shelf or to go back to previous agents already utilized, because the likelihood of any benefit for that individual is poor. These individuals are candidates for ongoing clinical trials, and we would encourage physicians not to go back to therapies that have resulted in known progression, but to explore clinical trials options.
Well, gentlemen, we've covered a great deal of information today. We've addressed advances in colon cancer treatment, options for metastatic colon cancer, and issues in the continuum of care. How would you summarize the issues we've addressed today?
Well, I think number one, we've all emphasized that each patient is an individual patient, and as is emphasized by the vignettes that we've seen, the treatment needs to be individualized to that patient. Secondly, we do have, based on our NCCN guidelines, several options for patients, but we need to pick the best option, and usually that is spelled out in our guidelines, at least gives us the directions that we should be heading with an individual patient.
I think we can stress that the progress we've made in a relatively short interval of time is truly outstanding, and that has come from the dedication not only of health professionals, but literally thousands and thousands of patients worldwide who have participated in clinical trials. As I think we mentioned up front, we're still not where we want to be. We still need to cure more people. So our best hope is to continue this process of clinical research, and we need the engagement of everybody to continue this process so that we can get closer to this strategy of truly individualized patient care.
As I mentioned at the top of the program, if we look at where colon cancer was 20 years ago, it was the number two cause of cancer death in the United States. We've now got 7 new drugs, different treatment options, but it's still the number two cause of cancer death in the United States. When we look at the advances that we can point to with a lot of pride, because we know how hard fought these victories have been, we can say that we've improved the median survival by about a year. Now we can say that, we can look at it from two perspectives. We can say, well, that's a doubling of survival over a decade of research. That's impressive. Or we can say it's only a one-year improvement in the median. It's accurate and appropriate to look at it both ways. And in order to keep a balanced perspective, we have to look at it both ways. We can be proud of the accomplishments that have been made so far, but we don't have any laurels to rest on. There's a lot of work to be done. And just as Al's been saying, we've got to continue to recognize the needs for more research. And we, as a community, oncologists, patients, families, have to participate in that research so that we can make the progress that's so desperately needed.
Much of our discussion today has been based on the guidelines from the National Comprehensive Cancer Network. You can find the guidelines online at nccn.org. You'll also find a link to that site at discoveryhealthcme.com. In closing, I'd like to thank all of you for participating in today's discussion about colon cancer and the continuum of care. I'd also like to thank our viewers. I hope the discussion today will be helpful in advising your patients and making the best treatment decisions. Also, I encourage each of you to go to your computer, log on to discoveryhealthcme.com, and take the post-test. It only takes a few minutes to earn free credit for this program. If you'd like to see the program again, you can watch it online, download a podcast, or order a DVD. The graphics and references from the program are also available online. Finally, I'd like to thank the National Comprehensive Cancer Network for accrediting and for collaborating with Discovery Health on the content of this program, as well as our supporters, Bristol-Myers Squibb, Genentech, and Roche. Once again, you can download the NCCN's guidelines at nccn.org. Until next time, I'm Rhea Blakey for Discovery Health CME.